Hello, and welcome into the light. I'm Catherine Michelle. On this program, we'll get acquainted with Ethel Smyth's opera, The Wreckers. It is a dramatic work about a community which purposely causes shipwrecks, and it has a distinguished performance history. I'm going to do a bit more talking than usual at the beginning, just so I can give you some background. Ethel Smyth was an English composer who lived from 1858 to 1944. The fourth child in a comfortably off military family, she was born in London and grew up in Sidcup. Her father was a major general in the Royal Artillery. Ethel's love of music was triggered by a governess who had trained at the Leipzig Conservatoire and who played classical pieces to her on the piano. Ethel resolved that one day she too would be a student at the Leipzig. From her father, she met with fierce opposition. It was unthinkable that a young English woman should go unaccompanied to study abroad. Amateur music making was all very well, but it was not done to take up music professionally. Largely by making herself insufferable at home, Ethel wore down her father's resistance, and in 1877 he let her go to Leipzig. The adventure was a complete success. She made friends with Brahms, Grieg, Tchaikovsky, Clara Schumann, Joachim, and other front-ranking musicians. After a period at the conservatory, she arranged to take private lessons in counterpoint with Heinrich von Herzogenberg, composer and friend of Brahms. With Herzogenberg's wife, Liesel, Ethel formed the first and one of the deepest of a series of often passionate attachments to other women, who included such disparate personalities as Mrs. Pankhurst, the suffragette leader, Mrs. Benson, the wife of the Archbishop of Canterbury, Lady Ponsonby, wife of Queen Victoria's private secretary, Edith Somerville, the Irish writer, and the novelist Virginia Woolf. Apart from the 2 years that Ethel Smyth gave to the women's suffrage, which landed her in prison for a spell, she devoted much time to sport and games. She hunted, she climbed mountains, she played golf in the Egyptian desert, she rode a bicycle before most women did, and she charged around Europe fearlessly confronting conductors and opera house intendants. The Wreckers was first produced at Leipzig in 1906. Smyth worked on it for 3 or 4 years with her librettist, Henry Brewster, the only man she loved, and, of all her close friends, the greatest single influence on her. He was author of various philosophical works, an American born, brought up in France. He asked if he could write the libretto in French, and she agreed. The English translation we shall hear tonight is the composer's. There were many disappointments in the process of getting the opera produced, but finally Thomas Beecham scheduled it twice into his first Covent Garden season, conducted once by himself and once by Bruno Walter. Many years later, Barbaroli conducted a revival at Covent Garden, and Sadler's Wells produced it in 1939. But since then, it has been performed very little until its recent rediscovery and the world premiere recording we shall hear presently with the BBC Philharmonic conducted by Odeline de la Martinez. Now for the story. This is an opera which takes place in Cornwall in the late 18th century at the time of the Wesleyan revival of the Methodist Church. The villagers who live on the rocky cliffs of Cornwall are fierce and starving, and they survive by means of a terrible tradition sanctioned by the community. They put out the lamp of the lighthouse in stormy weather in order to lure ships to their doom so they can plunder them. I'm going to give you as brief a synopsis as I can manage and keep you abreast of what's going on in the sections of the opera we'll be listening to. Here goes. Pasco is the village headman and preacher, and he upholds the town tradition of luring ships to their demise, which he thinks is God's way of taking care of the village. Thirsa is Pasco's wife, but she would rather be a heathen than follow the wrecker's creed of murder. "My daily bread tastes of blood," she sings, "and I quail when the wind is rising." Avis is the daughter of Lawrence, the lightkeeper. She's in love with Mark, a young fisherman. Mark is in love with Thirsa. Got it? We'll hear the overture. Then, as the first act opens, the villagers assemble for evening service, but Talan, landlord of the local tavern, tempts them to drink rather than prayer. Pasco, the preacher, tells his parishioners that because they profane the Sabbath, the Lord is guiding ships safely past their shore. But Avis arrives and gives her version of why there have been no shipwrecks lately. There is a traitor in their midst who has been hanging a warning beacon out for the ships. After that, Avis accuses Mark of neglecting her. Mark tells her gently that his love for her has died. She goes into a jealous rage. Then Thirza comes out and sings longingly of love. She tells her husband Pasco that she can't stand one more shipwreck. Avis then runs out and proclaims Pasco the traitor. The first act closes as a ship's driving on the rocks, and the villagers gather for plunder and rush screaming toward the shore as the curtain falls.